Well, good morning, afternoon, evening, guys. It's Saturday, December the 19th. I thought I'd do a quick video. I've actually been offline for about a week or so. Just lots of busy life, ministry, work things going on here. So I thought I'd do a quick video. Share some thoughts on Hasidic Jews, Christmas, grace. Lots of good, and walking with Jesus. So, hey, really great thoughts in a moment. What's happening? Let me give you a quick update of some upcoming things. Tomorrow is Sunday, December 20th. We have a Christmas service tomorrow at Sturbridge Worship Center here in Mass. Tomorrow, I'm going to be speaking on God and sinners reconciled. Wow. I want a really meaty Christmas message. I'm going to be talking about the power of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. You know, often, I know in England anyway, people seem to give out Christmas cards that misquote scripture, that say things like, peace on earth, goodwill amongst men. You know, man to man, goodwill amongst men. And what the angels actually said is goodwill towards men, from heaven towards men. And the only way we'll ever get social justice is by getting heavenly justice. And so I'm going to speak about reconciliation, what it means to be 100% right with God, pure and clean and wow, really great message. So we're going to have fun there tomorrow. If you can join us in person at 10 a.m. or online around about 11 a.m. at any of my websites or Facebook properties, things like that. Yeah. Hey, we have a couple of outreaches going on in the next week or so. On December 24th at 12 noon, we're going to be on the Common at Sturbridge here, the town common, just preaching Jesus saves, Jesus heals, preaching the gospel and praying for the sick there. And next weekend, so after Christmas, December 27th, I believe that is, we're going to be in Norwalk Common in Connecticut. Again, preaching the gospel with signs and wonders down there. Hey, December 30th, I'm going to be doing a live roundtable as well, inviting a bunch of guests in, and we're going to be talking about 2020 and 2021, and I'm going to go through the whole of 2020. I'm going to go month by month, and what do we remember? I'm going to talk about the pandemic, about masks and politics, and what's been happening in the church, what hasn't been happening in the church, Super Bowl prophecies, you name it. We're gonna have some fun and talk about the year we're leaving and the year we're stepping into and our hopes, dreams, and thoughts about that. Good. Lots of other good things going on, but I won't spend too much time here to talk about those. Yeah. Hey, don't know why, but over the last 2 or 3 days, I somehow stumbled across, it's actually, you know, there's a guy I follow occasionally, probably every few months I notice a video coming up on YouTube, one of these travel log guys, and I love travel, always been a traveler. You know, in the old days, probably a couple of hundred years ago, there was a genre of books, of literature, you know, about travel guides. There were, in those days when probably far fewer people traveled, people began to write about their experiences traveling. And you see people maybe like 100 years ago, W. Somerset Maugham would write, you know, travel to the Far East and write stories. And one thing I occasionally love to watch in a mindless way, usually when I'm working and I want someone in the background, is one of these, usually the young guys or girls occasionally, who are just traveling with a camera, you know, walking through India or walking through some different culture or whatever. And just the you know, it's a great way of doing that. Just one person with a camera and meeting people and talking about their experiences. And anyway, there's one guy I follow occasionally. You know, he's done some trips to Saudi Arabia recently, that kind of thing. And I know in the past week or so, he put out a bunch of videos where he just connected with the Hasidic community in, especially in New York, in Brooklyn. And you know, spent a few days kind of living with them, so to speak, eating with them, talking, a bunch of questions. Why do you do this? Why don't you do this? And it's, you know, something I'd never really looked at, especially in the American context anyway, that Hasidic community. And I was thinking this morning, my takeaway from that, it was really amazing in some way. In one way, I'm not doing a whole teaching on this. I hope most people get that revelation. It's so amazing how the Jewish people really, especially those who believe, they really are following, you know, the one and true God, Jehovah Yahweh, Adonai, Elohim. You know, they really are following, we are following the same God. And it is wonderful in a way to see how much, the God they know, if you will, the God they're following, all these things baked into their lives, it really is the one true God they're following. And you can see in a way that, you know, it's obviously been distorted over the years and lots of weird and wonderful things get in there. But the original things God gave, especially to Moses, have been handed down and the carriers of those traditions. And in one way, it's really wonderful. And there's so much wisdom there also in the way that they do, if I can use that word, the way in which they navigate life, especially living in a place like New York. You know, the way I was saying to my daughter, I'm not in any way saying anybody needs to do this, but the way in which they approach actually marriage and arrange marriages, things like this, it doesn't need to be copied, but it sometimes it doesn't need to be written off either. There's an immense amount of wisdom there passed on. And yet, you know, every time if you look at the lifestyle and the things they do to approach God, it's so real that what Paul said about, you know, you literally see the Apostle Paul coming through them, but he's, you know, I love God and I believed in him and I was obsessed with trying to get to God in my own righteousness, trying to pray the right prayers, do this, don't do this, never look at this, never do that, build a whole lifestyle around trying to climb the ladder and get to God. And of course, no, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and nobody can make it to God in their own righteousness. And we have literally an alien righteousness, like a forensic righteousness, one that comes from the outside, one that we don't have anything to do with, one that was a gift. Those who've received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life by one Christ Jesus. So I don't know why I'm saying that, but that was my takeaway watching some of this stuff, just how much, how precious it was looking at that community, but also how they'll never make it, how none of us will ever make it in our own righteousness, in our own goods. And we need a Savior. We need Yeshua HaMashiach. We need our Messiah, Jesus. We need a Savior to come and save us. We cannot save ourselves. They said to Jesus on the cross, you know, save yourself. If you be God, why don't you save yourself? He didn't come to save himself. He's the only person in history who could have saved himself, but he chose not to save himself. Why? That he might save you and I. Hallelujah. And that's the true Christmas message, the gospel message. One of the takeaway I really had, though, and this is, it's a no-brainer, but it's good thinking about as well. It just watching that community, it really amazed me again, and this is a biblical idea, how much that even in God's original plan of the law that would be a nanny, if you will, to bring us to grace, to bring us to Christ. But how much God literally gave the Jewish people a culture, a lifestyle, and said, if you want to be a holy people, and holy doesn't mean, it actually has little to do with sin. Holy means separate. If you want to be a separate, different people, you have to literally create a whole culture around God, a whole culture that will sustain and promote and carry you and maintain these attitudes of heart. Because if you don't do that, you will wander. And, you know, it really struck me just watching that community, how much, again, right there, you know, in New York City, there's a community of people and everything around them, every little thought, the clothes, the tassels, the, you know, everything about the culture, if you will, is trying to point to God. Again, they won't reach God without the blood. They won't reach God through the blood of bulls and goats and the following of laws. We only reach him through Christ. And yet God wants us to have that idea of having a culture is a really important thing. And I just think it bears thinking about for you and I. And I want to leave you with those words today. I'm going to be trying to think about your environment. Think about your habits. think about your culture. I remember once being in New York City, not far from the preaching somewhere, and I was staying with a couple who have an apartment there on a Friday, and I think on a Saturday we've gone out to have breakfast, and I remember this the wife kind of turning to me, and I don't know how we got into the conversation, but we were talking about nuns and monks and, you know, all those things. And this lady turned to me and said, I think I'm going to go and buy a habit, like a nun's habit, a nun's dress. And it's like later on that day, those words struck at me, go and buy a habit. You know, we buy habits. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And God wants you and I to, he wants us to live in an environment. He wants us to live in a place where everything we go, I want to come into my office and sit and look at my bookshelf and think, wow, I've got hundreds of amazing books and all of them will bring me closer to the true and living God. God wants us to have a habit, a lifestyle that pulls us towards God, not one that pushes out from him. You know, I was watching the one of these videos was talking about how so many of young Jewish people around about the age of 18, especially Americans, will go and spend a year in Israel. And it's funny, it talks about the different stages they go through where often, you know, frankly, for the first 3 or 4 months, it's like party central. And, you know, even on the Sabbath, Shabbat, Friday evening, they're all there getting drunk and doing drugs and being promiscuous and whatever and not, you know, treating the whole thing like a joke. But then being in Israel, just seeing what's going on there and how many of them come back and make that kind of life commitment to adhere to the past, to follow to that. You know, I know when I was 17, 18, I went to work for the Assemblies of God for 1 year in the UK. A similar thing in a way, like a young people on a year out. We spent a year planting churches. And today at age 51, I'm still planting churches and leading churches. And my point is, you're not going to walk with God, but simply with good intentions. The blood of Jesus saves us. And going to church and having, you know, Christian environment and books and all of those won't save you, but they sustain that walk with God. And I think God wants us to think, pray, and think through our habits, our environment, our choices, the things we surround ourselves with. If you love God, but if you go to church 1 week in three, if you just occasionally think about him, you're going to drift far, far from him. Now, it's not a salvation issue. It's a flourishing issue. Let me finish with that. But God calls us as well to be a holy people. Again, I don't think that means we all got to live together and everybody has to wear a blue sweater and shirt, whatever. And I don't think it means that. But what I think it does mean is God's saying be a separate people. Let me put it this way. When you are holy, God does not love you more. Nothing you can do will cause God to love you more. When you live a holy life, God doesn't love you more. But when you live a holy life, you love God more. When you live a holy life, your affections are stirred with the things of God. So I encourage you today to think through what are the things that surround us? How do we build? What culture do we live in? You say, Graham, we live in an American culture. Yeah. Some of that's amazing. Some of it's not amazing. Some of it's bad. Some of it's from heaven. Some of it isn't. And the same with British culture, French culture, any other culture. And how do we build the habits and the culture of the kingdom of God? Question to be continued. Thanks for watching, listening, guys. Again, check out some of the links and all the good stuff below. And thank you. I really encourage all of you. This has been a really tough year for churches. Not particularly, I'm not saying for my churches here, but really be faithful with your home church. I would encourage you, you know, be there every week. You say, I can't, it's meeting online. Be online every week. Be the person who the second your church goes online, you let everybody know I'm there. Be faithful in giving. You know, I found this amazing in a way. I think some people have really got this when it comes to the local restaurant, you know, the local tavern or the local thing, that if we don't order a takeout meal from our local restaurant, it may not be there next year. I know where I live in Massachusetts, they say about 25% of small businesses have closed in 2020. But I think some people don't realize that with your church as well. And again, I'm blessed, so I don't suffer in the way some people do, but I know some young pastors with families, with husbands or wives and kids, whatever, who zonk, you know, their churches are just, people assume church will always be there. So I encourage you, be faithful. And if you're living here in America as well, the end of the year is a great time to look at some year-end giving, to make up some giving, to, you know, help your church plow into 2021 in a great way, in a strong way. So pray about that. It's important. Don't say that for me. Give it to somebody else. But, you know, be a player in the kingdom of God. Don't be a straggler. Don't be somebody on the outskirts. And when all of this pandemic thing's gone, don't blow back into church. Be the person who kept the church going while everything was in a tough season. Boom. Good thought for a Saturday. Thanks for watching, guys. Love you, and cheering you on this day. Bye for now.